to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Book of Matthew, chapter 1, we'll read very familiar verses of Scripture. I'd like to read verses 18 through verse 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or after this manner. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The book of Matthew opens in verse 1 with these words, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And what follows through verse 16 is the genealogy of Christ from the human side. Now, our text begins in verse 18 with the words, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. The word translated generation in verse 1 is the Greek word genesis, and is the same word translated birth here in verse 18. So our text is the genealogy of Christ from the divine side, from God's side. In our text, we have the announcement to Joseph of the conception of Jesus Christ. In verse 25 of our text, we see the birth of Jesus Christ is recorded. What we want to consider tonight is Joseph. Joseph serves as an example to God's people. And there are many things that we learn about just life from this account. So I want to speak tonight on life lessons from Joseph. The first thing we want to notice is just some things that we experience in life. For foundation purposes, we need to consider, first of all, the circumstances of Joseph. We read in verse 18 that Joseph, Mary was espoused to Joseph. We read the same thing in Luke chapter 1 and verse 27. Mary and Joseph were espoused. What that means is they were betrothed, they were engaged to be married. Now, this espousal, much different, of course, than today, was really an actual marriage contract, a contract of marriage, and it was preliminary to marriage, though at the same time it was distinct from marriage, and that's very, very important. It wasn't marriage. It was distinct from marriage. Now, the future couple was usually espoused by their fathers, but not always. And this, again, came about by some type of marriage agreement. And this marriage agreement was binding. It was binding upon the future couple. So Mary and Joseph were espoused. They had a marriage agreement. And this marriage agreement was binding upon Mary. It was binding upon Joseph. Now, during this espousal period, the couple, the man and the woman, did not live together. They did not engage in any physical relations. And during this betrothal, during this time of espousal, both the bride and the groom were to keep themselves physically pure for the day that they would physically come together in marriage as husband and wife. Very, very unlike our day. But in those days, the future bride and the future groom were expected to go into marriage pure, as virgins. Again, much different than today. Both Joseph and Mary had kept themselves pure. We see in Matthew 1 and verse 18, Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. It's speaking of sexual relations, speaking of the consummation of marriage. And then notice in Luke chapter 1, verse 27, to a virgin, Mary kept herself pure, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 34, we see that the announcement has been made to Mary that she would conceive in her womb a son. Mary questioned, "How can this be?" And in verse 4, then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" That doesn't mean that she was unacquainted with a man. Her and Joseph were espoused. What it means is that they had not come together in a sexual way. "I know not a man." So the espousal, both the future bride and the future groom, were expected to keep themselves pure. The fact that Joseph and Mary were espoused means that all the arrangements had been made. And the wedding ceremony was soon to take place. That there was an espousal means that there was a plan. A plan had been set in place. And this betrothal period would be a time of excitement about their future together as husband and wife. And no doubt it would be a time of great expectation as they were counting down the days when they would come together. They would live together as husband and wife. So Mary and Joseph were espoused. That's their circumstances. Now, life can take some unexpected turns. We that are old enough, we certainly know that. Life can take some turns that you never, ever planned upon. No matter how much you plan, you can't plan for everything. It's not possible. So life can take some unexpected turns. Here we have Joseph and Mary, they're espoused. At some time during this espousal period, the angel Gabriel suddenly and surprisingly appeared to Mary. And he made a very, very unusual announcement that is recorded there in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through verse 35. And again, the announcement to save time was basically, you're going to have a child, it will be a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. And she was also told in verse 36 that her cousin Elizabeth had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her. So Elizabeth is now been expecting for 6 months. This is Mary's cousin. Mary made haste to go to the house of Elizabeth, where she would spend 3 months. Notice verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And then notice in verse 56, Luke 1 and verse 56. And he spake to our fathers, or in verse 56, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, from the time that the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she would have a son, Mary's life had taken a very unexpected turn. And she goes to the house of Elizabeth and she spends 3 months. News would eventually come to Joseph. And Joseph would hear that Mary is expecting with child. Life had taken a very troubling turn for Joseph. You think about that. Here they are, espoused. They are in love with one another. They have kept themselves pure. And word comes that Mary is with child. Must have hit Joseph like a bombshell. He no doubt thought that Mary loved him as much as he loved her. But now, seemingly, she had been unfaithful to him. That's what it seems. It seems like Mary has been unfaithful. That Mary has broken the agreement. I mean, he knew that the child wasn't his. Knowing that the child was not his, there's only one conclusion that you can come to. And that is that Mary had been unfaithful. That she had broken the promise that had existed between them. Suddenly, life for Joseph was not what he had planned. This is not what Joseph was expecting. This is not how it was planned. The plan was there would be a bride. There would be a wedding. Yes, there might be children down the road. The plan was there is someone that I can enjoy life with. There is someone that I can grow old with. There is someone that we will be loyal and faithful to one another. But instead, the person that he thought would meet all those desires, it appears that she's been unfaithful. I mean, that's the only conclusion that you can come to. And it is the conclusion that Joseph came to. Things do not always go as expected. And we learn that here in the life of Joseph and Mary. And from Joseph's point of view, when Joseph hears that Mary is expecting, it all appeared bad. I mean, this is bad. There's nothing good here. This is all bad as far as Joseph is concerned. But did not God have good in mind? Yes, he did. And many times when we think it's all bad, God has good in mind. But life had taken an unexpected turn. And there are some unexpected turns in life. People make plans for the future. And in those plans, they picture how things will be. Oh, how often we have pictured how things will be. And it didn't turn out that way. And I'm sure Joseph in his mind had pictured how it was going to be. But it's not turning out that way right now. Life had taken an unexpected turn. Some event happens. We've made these plans, and something happens. Some event takes place. And hopes and plans and dreams crumble. When Joseph heard that Mary was with child, his hopes came crumbling down. His plans and his dreams were now shattered. The events sometimes are unexpected. Not only are the events of life sometimes unexpected, sometimes they're unwanted. This isn't what Joseph wanted. Sometimes the events of life are often unwanted. And many times we are blind. We are blind to the fact that God is at work. God is always at work behind the scenes. And we do not know exactly what God is doing at any time. Oh, we may know some things, but we never fully know what God is doing at any time. But God is at work. Romans 8, 28, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 through 17. God is at work in all these things. So we learn from this account that life has some unexpected turns. These unexpected turns result in some dilemmas. Life has its dilemmas. The news that Mary was expecting with child no doubt was devastating to Joseph. No doubt the news left him shocked for days. The news left him heartbroken. The news left him confused and overwhelmed, and no doubt greatly distressed. But they created a dilemma for Joseph. Joseph had three choices. By biblical law, Joseph had three choices. Number one, he could publicly humiliate Mary for what he perceived to be immorality. This choice could lead to her possible death under the law. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 22. Again, we're talking about an espousal. Deuteronomy 22, We'll begin reading with verse 13. If any man take a wife and go in unto her, that means that the marriage is about to be consummated. And he hates her. He's found something. And give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, again, consummating the marriage, I found her not a maid. I discovered that she has not been faithful. Then shall the father of the damsel and mother take and bring forth the token of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. That is, they were to prove her virginity. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughters unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, the sheet, the bed sheet. And the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. He made a false accusation. And she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. So here was a man who made a false accusation. Verse 20. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then shall they bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. So this was one of his choices. He could bring her public, and there would be a trial of sorts. Secondly, he could divorce her. He could divorce her and walk away from her. Deuteronomy chapter 24. And it's not our purpose to speak on divorce, so we're not going to go into detail here. But in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 1, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found uncleanness in her. Again, I believe this is before the marriage is consummated. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it into her hand and send her out of his house. Jesus addressed this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 30. Well, let's turn there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and verse 32. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. Immediately people say, ha, unfaithfulness is a cause. This is before the marriage was consummated. It is fornication, it is not adultery. And even Jesus makes the distinction in verse 32. For the cause of fornication causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So when a man had married a wife, and they were about to consummate the marriage, and he discovered that she was not a virgin, he could put her away right there. He could write her a bill of divorcement. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 8, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered or permitted you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So this was the only provision for divorce And it was immediately after the wedding and before consummation. It was only for the espousal period before the marriage was consummated. That was his second choice. His third choice was he could marry her and raise the child as if it were his own. Now, that last option was rarely chosen by a Jewish man. But here's Joseph. He's now faced with these three choices. None of them are appealing. But he has to do one. He has to do one of these three. And Joseph, he's already heartbroken. His dreams have been shattered. And he's pondering these things. And as he's pondering these things, no doubt sadness gripped his heart. And he's leaning upon his own understanding. And he's reasoning within himself. And he's trying to figure it all out. And there is Joseph with his dreams and hopes and plans for the future, all shattered, all destroyed. He's filled with great disappointment. And he settles his mind on what he's going to do. He comes to a decision. Notice in Matthew 1 and verse 19. It says, he was not willing to make her a public example. That was the first choice. He didn't want to do that. He loved Mary. He did not want to make her a public example. So he was minded to put her away privately. He was minded to write to have a bill of divorcement written up. That is what Joseph was going to do. That brings us to the example of Joseph. Again, we see that life can take some unexpected turns. These unexpected turns can present us with quite a dilemma. And there's Joseph in his dilemma. And during this time when life can take these uncertain turns and unexpected turns and unwanted turns, and we're faced with a dilemma, God has a message. And God had a personal message for Joseph. Again, in verse 19, we read that he was minded to put her away privately. Then we come to verse 20. But, something's happened. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph. In this time, when there was an unexpected and unwanted turn of events, in this time of heartbreak and devastation, in this time of a dilemma, God had a personal message for Joseph. I believe that that's still true today. Life will take unexpected turns, life will take unwanted turns, and we will find ourselves faced with a dilemma. But I believe in those times, God has a personal message for us. And it would be good not to do anything until you hear from the Lord. Because he does have a message. And oh, how we ought to thank the Lord for those times. We're faced with a dilemma. We're pondering, we're struggling with what we ought to do.
God appears with a message. Now notice this message to Joseph. It was a message of comfort. It was a message of support. It was a message of reassurance. It was a message of encouragement. It says, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So it was a message of comfort. Fear not, Joseph. Joseph, this is a very difficult time. But Joseph, take courage. Fear not. It was a message of instruction. "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." That's not what Joseph was planning on doing. That was the third option. Joseph was about to pick option number two. He was about to have a bill of divorcement written up. But the Lord comes with a message and says, "Joseph, take courage and marry her." And marry her. So it was a message of instruction. What he is saying to Joseph is, "Joseph, do not be afraid to do what I am telling you to do. Fear not." It was also an extraordinary message, because he went on to say, "For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Joseph, Mary has not been unfaithful to you. Mary is still pure. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Other than Mary, no one has ever heard in the history of the world that message. How extraordinary. Very extraordinary message. An unheard of message. It was a message of promise. Verse 21, "For she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Joseph was told in this message, basically, that what he thought was a nightmare was really the miraculous work of God. And may I say, it was a message that changed the thinking of Joseph. Joseph knew what he was going to do. He was going to have a bill of divorcement written up. But here comes that message, "Joseph, fear not to marry her." It's important that we always remember that God has a message. "Well, I don't know what God wants me to do, so I'll do such and such." If you don't know what God wants you to do, you don't do a thing. God has a message. And you wait. "Oh, I got to act right now." Who's in control? Your circumstances are God. You just wait. You wait to hear from the Lord. I want to say there's a lot of lives that would not have taken the turn they did had people just waited upon God. There are a lot of pastors that would not have destroyed churches had they just waited for a message from God. It's important that we remember that God has a message. And it is important that we always have an open and ready ear to hear that message. Joseph believed the message. I mean, this is incredible. This is an incredible message. "Joseph, Mary is pregnant, but she has not known a man. This child that is in her is of the Holy Spirit." That's incredible. But Joseph believed. He believed the impossible. He believed something that was absolutely unheard of. Why did he believe? Because God said it. That's all he needed. God told him, and Joseph believed. He believed enough to conduct his life based upon what God said. Now you think about that. Joseph based his life on what God told him that night. That's believing. The truth is, you and I don't believe unless we're willing to base our life upon what God has said. And Joseph was willing to do that. God has a message. He comes to us with that message. And we are to believe it to the extent that we are to base all of our decisions upon that message. Circumstances may appear contrary to the message. All of our thoughts, all of our human reason may go contrary to the message. But we are to believe it. We are to believe it to the extent that we are willing to base our decisions upon that message. And we are willing to base our entire life on that message. Joseph was told something that he could not figure out. Now, I'll debate this with anybody. There's no way you're ever going to convince me that Joseph understood what God meant when he said, "That child which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." It's never happened before. Joseph didn't sit down and figure this out. He never did figure it out. It wasn't something that he could comprehend. But he believed it. We don't have to figure it out. We must believe. We don't even have to comprehend it. But we must believe. And Joseph believed. Thirdly, Joseph had enough faith to obey what he heard. Verse 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him." That tells us a couple of things. Again, it tells us that he based his life, he based his decision upon what God said. But it also tells us that his thinking was changed. Because up to this point, Joseph was minded to put her away. But he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Now, I don't believe that Joseph was no longer leaning on his own understanding. He's no longer trying to figure this out. He simply believes God. He simply trusts God. In fact, he believed to the point that he obeyed. And he did what God told him to do. Again, I don't believe that Joseph fully understood all the mechanics of what God was telling him. But he believed to the point that he obeyed. Joseph did what God told him to do, even though his heart was telling him to do something else. His heart was telling him to put her away. People will say today, "Just follow your heart." My friend, that's terrible advice. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. You get yourself in a lot of trouble following your heart. Joseph did what God told him to do, even though it was contrary to the general consensus. Again, very, very, very few would choose that third option. marry her. Very rarely happened. That was not the general consensus. And yet, Joseph believed, even though it was contrary to what any other normal thinking man would have done. Joseph does not know how things will work out, but he believes. And he knows that God is working. And that was enough for Joseph. And you see, tonight, you and I don't have to know how things are going to work out. All we have to know is God's working. And base our life upon what God has said. Trust God to do what He says, even when you don't understand, even when you can't figure it out. Base your life upon what He says. No matter what the general consensus is, you base your life upon what God has said. And that's what Joseph did. You see, our duty is to walk humbly with the Lord by faith, and He'll bless. We see also, lastly, that Joseph's obedience, and obedience to God always does, it involved self-denial and faithfulness. So Joseph took Mary into his home. Verse 25 says he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. He knew her not. He refrained from having sexual relations with her. Why? Because he respected the plan of God, knowing that she was to be a virgin when Jesus was born. So he denied himself. Instead of demanding what was rightfully his as her husband, he denied himself. And he was faithful. And they knew not one another until after Jesus Christ was born. That tells me that the fact that Joseph denied himself, that tells me that he kept on believing every day what God had told him. No matter what his heart was telling him, no matter what his mind was telling him, no matter what his physical lust was telling him, he just kept on believing God. And he denied himself. Every day he kept on believing God, realizing that it wasn't about him. It was about God. Joseph, those words there in verse 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. That shows us that Joseph exercised restraint because he believed what God said. He had resolve. He had resolve to do what God said. We learn many things from Joseph. We don't know a whole lot about Joseph, but we know enough. So here we have a man who goes from great disappointment. Again, the disappointment that filled his heart when the news came that Mary is expecting a child. How heartbreaking that was to Joseph. The turmoil that caused in Joseph's mind. And how Joseph must have wrestled with that. And what to do. But then came the message of God. It always does. If we'll just wait, God has something to say. And He will say it in His time. The message came. I mean, if you think about it, God could have told Joseph the same day He told Mary. That's not how God chose to do it.
would have saved Joseph a lot of trouble. Would have saved Joseph a dilemma. But that's not how God did it. The message came in God's time. And when it came, Joseph believed. Joseph trusted. And he no longer leaned on his own understanding. You see, when Joseph came when he was minded to put her away privately, he was leaning on his own understanding. He was trying to figure it out from a human standpoint. Now we realize that couldn't have happened. What a disaster it would have been. And oh, how many disasters we cause because we do not wait for God's message. And then we see Joseph doing exactly what God told him to do. And that would involve some self-denial. That would involve restraint. That would involve great resolve. But we read in verse 25, and he called his name Jesus. Can you imagine the joy? And he called his name Jesus. You remember when John the Baptist was born? His parents brought him to the temple. And they asked, is his name Zacharias? That is, are you going to name him after his father? And Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. Well, they couldn't hardly believe that. So they asked Zacharias, are you going to name him Zacharias? And Zacharias wrote, his name is John. Can you imagine? Can you imagine when people would ask Joseph and Mary, what's his name? Jesus. All the joy. You imagine when they wrote down his name? His name is Jesus. Oh, the joy. I'm telling you, you wait and you listen for what God says and you do what God says, and there's joy at the end of that road. There is great joy, joy that you cannot imagine at the end of that road. Who would have thought when Joseph first heard this news that he would ever be this happy? But he was. Because he listened to God. Because he believed God. Because he acted upon what God said. Brother Larry, if you'd come.